Sup freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this very special edition of Rabbit Hole Recap. It's Monday. Why are you doing a Rabbit Hole Recap, you freaks are asking? Well, there seems to be a lot of demand from you freaks out there to get information on what's going on with the markets, as we've been covering them pretty intently for the last few months, or actually since the inception of Rabbit Hole Recap, and Matt and I never want to come up short for you freaks, so we decided to add an extra episode a week every Monday. We're going to be doing an episode Rabbit Hole Recap Stimulus Package to keep you guys up to date with what's going on and just communicate what we're seeing and what we're thinking about what's going on out there. Hope you guys like it, and let us know what you think about the content and if there's other subjects you want us to broach while talking about this stuff. This episode of Rabbit Hole Recap is brought to you by our good friends at the Cash App. You freaks already know all about them, but if you don't know about them, let me tell you about them, all right? They're letting us do many things. They have their Boost program. It's going to be good if in this economic downturn. If you're getting out, we should be socially distancing. Not going to go with that line for this, but, all right, when the social distancing is done, you're going to be able to go to local merchants. Actually, no, here's a good example of how you can do it with social distancing. DoorDash, is one of their major partners. So, okay, you get your specialized Boost card. It's a Visa card, except wherever Visa's accepted. DoorDash Boost has been a thing. Haven't checked today if it's on there for me where I am right now. But if it is available for you, you can hit that Boost and save some money for getting food delivered to your house. All right, practice social distancing, save some money with the Cash App. On top of that, they're letting you stack sats. You can stack sats, send sats, receive sats, sell sats if you so please on the Cash App as well. And soon they're going to make sats the standard from what I'm hearing, which is incredible to help eliminate unit bias. And on top of that, if you guys are buying dips in the stonk market, Cash App Investing is now here. They're letting you buy slivers of stonks. If your favorite stonk is a little bit too expensive, which is hard to believe after the few days we've experienced in the stock market, hey, maybe they are still overvalued at these levels. You can buy as little as $1 of that stonk. You can stack a sliver of a stonk because Cash App is connected directly to your bank account. You don't have to wait 4 to 5 days for the money to get there. You can start buying directly today, okay? And Cash App Investing is a subsidiary scare. So this is a subsidiary of Square and member SIPC. As always, if you have not downloaded the app yet and you are going to download it, make sure you use the code STACKINGSATS. That's one word, STACKINGSATS, stacking sats. You're going to get $10. You're going to need it in this trying time. And then $10 is going to go to our good friends at Owls Lacrosse. Owls Lacrosse in Chicago. All right, download the Cash App, use the code STACKINGSATS, and enjoy this Rabbit Hole Recap stimulus package. Peace and love. Take care.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
What's up, freaks? It's your boy Marty Bent here for a very special edition of Rabbit Hole Recap. Matt, what are we calling this? Rabbit Hole, the stimulus package? Rabbit Hole Recap, the stimulus package?
It's the real stimulus package.
The real stimulus package. Yeah, obviously shit is getting crazy out there in the markets, in the macro world, in the virus world. There seems to be a demand for more content on what is going on to try and help everybody get a sense of it. And so Matt and I decided to double the amount of content we put out for Rabbit Hole Recap for the time being during this crisis. Let's be clear. We don't have all the answers. We do think we have good perspectives, and we're going to try to just communicate what we're seeing out there. We're going to start with, we'll just start with markets and macro in general. We met last Thursday, Matt. We were in the middle of a 20% or 10 to 20, I forget exactly at this point, 10, 15, 20% market decline on Thursday. That was before I recorded with Parker Lewis and Kyle Bass. That night, Kyle Bass particularly seemed to think that the Fed could not go this alone. If they are to sort of help, if this problem, is going to be solved, the Fed is going to need help from the federal government in by way of fiscal stimulus, whether that be tax cuts and combination of tax cuts and things like UBI. And it seems that the federal government has sort of balked on that. Not balked, but they really haven't come through on the need to quell markets with this stimulus, this fiscal stimulus. And because of that, markets are tanking. On Friday, they rocketed up towards the end of the day as Trump gave his speech on how the administration was going to combat the virus. And
the Justin Sun playbook.
It was incredible. It was incredible framing. He basically, not like you said, Justin Sun's playbook, announced a bunch of partnerships, a lot of pre-announcements, and really paraded out a bunch of CEOs and leaders of industry to sort of signal to the market that, hey, we're going to let industry lead this recovery. We need a public-private partnership to if we're going to solve this problem. And which honestly, like to me, that I was actually sort of happy to see that. He talked about drive-through testing in Walmarts, CVS's, Walgreens. He had biotech companies that are going to develop test. He had them on stage talking about how they're going to up their production and sort of skirt around the CDC. But it wasn't enough. I believe in the same speech, he came out and said that he was going to do $50 billion worth of stimulus for I think pertaining to medical cost, which the market doesn't seem to think is enough. But yeah, it's been a chaotic 5 days since we last met, 4 days. And even though the markets rallied on Friday during Trump's speech, over the weekend, reality of the situation sort of really set in. We had Madrid, Paris, some cities in the United States come out and tell their citizens that they need to quarantine, and started shutting down businesses or forcing businesses to shut down, non-essential businesses outside of grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, and other things, telling those people that, hey, stay home, don't open your businesses, don't allow people to congregate within your properties, because we need to socially distance our citizens right now.
Wow, a lot of shit happened.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't believe we're doing two rabbit hole recaps. Feels good. We have a lot of time on our hands in quarantine, so we might as well. Hope you freaks like it. Yeah, I mean, look, the Fed can't do anything right now. There's anything they do, just it seems panicked, because it is panicked, right?
Yes. So let's talk about specifically what they did over the weekend when it became more apparent that the federal government was going to come through with the fiscal stimulus that many observers and people in the know within the financial world think that the markets need right now. It became apparent that it didn't seem like both sides are going to come together to make that happen. It still isn't that clear, even at this point today, immediately after another Trump speech. So the Fed came out and made another emergency cut. Last night, they cut by 100 bips. So their target is now between 0 and 25 bips. And then on top of that, they announced the reemergence of QE. They're going to buy up to $700 billion of of bonds and mortgage-backed securities. And then during this whole thing, too, they upped the amount of money they're going to provide overnight repo markets. And today, after offering $500 billion overnight last night, they announced a midday repo of another $500 billion. So
insanity.
We're getting into the trillions of dollars of repo operations just in the last couple weeks.
And they officially announced real QE. They've had like the sneaky QE, and now they have real QE. And markets tanked anyway. So they like wasted their last ammo, and markets tanked anyway. Meanwhile, they should be focusing on the fucking virus. And if they focus on the virus, then markets will hopefully stabilize because of that. right? Because, like, look, right now we're looking at months of downtime, like insane knock-on effects. And we see that in the Bitcoin market too. You know, you have an asset that is freely traded on markets with no circuit breakers 24/7, and it's been extremely volatile, and that makes sense to me. Because really the threat here is the virus and what it's going to do to our economy. That was already a house of cards.
Exactly. And so today markets finished, the Dow was down almost 13%, S&P down 12%, NASDAQ 12.3%, Russell 2000 down 14.3%. Markets opened limit down. The circuit breakers went off within a minute. They reopened, and actually, so it seems like markets closed during Trump's latest speech, and it seems like they really weren't really happy with it, even though from the little bit I caught, he was focusing on the virus. But I think he did mention the uncertainty of economic growth during the virus.
What, the Friday speech? Like
no, right now, right before we hit record.
Oh, I missed that one.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I apologize.
And it's becoming more and more apparent. I found my train of thought. That again, the Fed's not going to be able to do this alone. And maybe even if the government does step in and help out, it may be ephemeral as well. Because, like you mentioned, this virus, even if you can throw all the fiscal stimulus that you want at it, it is shutting down businesses and shutting down economic activity, and you can't throw money at this problem. We have to weather this storm that is a biological storm. And so that's probably what we should begin to focus on now too, is yelling at people who decided to celebrate St. Patrick's Day over the weekend and were filling bars. I know in New York City, the bars were packed. Chicago, Pittsburgh.
Oh, I'm so glad we got out of there.
Which like to celebrate St. Patrick's Day heavily, they were packed even though the parades were shut down, the bars were still packed. And one thing the people who are packing these bars have to realize, and I imagine they're people our age and younger, and people in their early to late 20s, early 30s, yes, you can go out and you can probably contract the disease, and if you're not immunocompromised, you'll probably survive. But just think about when you go home, when you go to eat dinner with your parents or grandparents, you are spreading that to them.
No, but I think that's like one of the most dangerous things that we've heard this whole crisis, is that young people are like basically immune. Like the Netherlands, the Dutch came out and said that 50% of their ICU cases are under 50. So like if you're like a football player and you're like 22 and you're like perfectly healthy, then like maybe. But like all these people are going out there under this false premise because that's what they keep hearing for the last, you know, like 8 weeks. Like if you hear, if you hear that all the time and you don't really interact with older people, especially if you're living in like a city or something, then, you know, you take it less seriously.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was just disheartening to see over the weekend. Like even some of my friends was looking on Instagram and just seeing people out at bars acting like nothing was going on. And that's something, again, I've been upfront on this podcast and the newsletter. Like I'm not an expert when it comes to
anything,
the virus or anything really, but especially the virus. But it is becoming more and more apparent that if we really want to take the bull by the horns and take care of this, we do have to try to prevent people commingling in tight spaces. And we're seeing what's happening in Spain and Italy, particularly sort of, France as well. France is having a terrible time as well.
Paris is about to go into lockdown, complete lockdown.
I think they did already. I think they did. As of right now, yeah. I think it was 9 p.m. tonight.
Midnight their time is what I heard. Okay.
2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, St. Paddy's mixed with the crowds we saw at the airports this weekend. Which is
another thing. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like it's probably the worst case scenario combination going into this thing. It reminds me of the whole Chinese New Year thing that happened to start it all off.
Well, the crowds at the airports, they really couldn't control everything. It was like, we're talking about O'Hare Airport particularly, I imagine.
No, they were from all over. I saw like crowds at Fort Lauderdale in Canada. There was a New York airport.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the people in Fort Lauderdale were escaping because there was like an outbreak down there, probably back to New York where there's an outbreak that's stupid off the bat. But O'Hare, particularly, like an attempt to stop the spread from Europe, they had all their international flights coming in and they were trying to temperature gauge everybody, which led to people being dick to ass in a very confined space for up to 7 hours, some estimates were saying. So,
and there were more people again, because of the way they instituted the travel ban. Like they scared everyone into the, you're not going to be able to get home after Friday, and everyone just booked flights right away.
Yeah.
And it's fucked.
Then when they get home, the centralized TSA government makes them more susceptible to contracting the disease by, and nobody was wearing masks. I think I saw one mask in one picture.
Dude, the TSA is going to get so much worse after this. This is basically like cemented the TSA into our lives, I feel like.
How? Fuck the TSA.
They're going to do they're going to do temperature checks on us and like all this other shit now. They're going to institute it. Like they're going to say the TSA didn't do enough. We're going to see so much more surveillance technology in general. We already see it coming out of China. They have, you know, all this technology they're using to fight the virus that involves surveillance. We saw in Israel, they're tracking cell phone data now. So I think that, you know, when fear happens, then that's when they get to pass the most draconian things. They say it's temporary and it lasts forever. And we might see that happen to cash too. We might see cash, get de facto banned and slowly phased out after that.
Don't let it happen, freaks. These same centralized entities that are going to try to force these laws on you are the reason that we have this problem right now.
This is why we Bitcoin.
But seriously, like this, I got to stop saying like and I'm sorry, freaks. I'm going to work on it.
It's okay. It's a pandemic. But you're excused.
The problem has been made much worse because we're waiting, or people have been up to this point. It seems like things are getting more localized in the response. But for the longest time, for the first few weeks, people were looking up to the CDC like, hey, what do we do? What do we do? Can we get the test? And just hand out, eyes up, tail between their legs, looking upwards to these centralized authorities for a solution to this problem. And that's one thing we have to realize, talking specifically about America here. It's, you can't depend on the federal government to solve this for us. There's 330 million some odd people in this country. Donald Trump in D.C. is not going to fix this for all of us. The Congress in D.C. is not going to fix this for all of us. You have to work on a localized level and think up. And that's one thing this crisis is really laying bare, is that we are systemically dependent on these centralized authorities. And it's not a way to become anti-fragile. It has made us extremely fragile as a country and as a complex system.
Citadels.
You know what, Matt? I might be convinced about citadels after this.
I think this whole crisis is going to hasten the development of citadels around the world. I mean, we already see some citadels, but I think it'll become more common.
Well, I think so too. And that's, we were talking before we hit record here. I just had an incredible conversation with Chuck Marone, who's the author of Strong Towns, a book I've been talking and writing a lot about in recent weeks. I'm going to drop that tomorrow. I think you guys are going to love it, but that's sort of the optimistic tone we ended it on. Like, God, I'm sorry for saying like, we need to turn inwards towards our local communities, and that's how we're going to fix these problems. That's how we're going to get out of these systemic problems that we're experiencing today. And to turn a page to a lighter note, I just want to highlight something in my own life that in this crisis, that an anecdote that has come to light, which I think really highlights your favorite saying, hold the door, is my in-laws. They're on the outskirts of Philly in a small neighborhood in Philadelphia, and they're older. My father-in-law is in his 70s. mother-in-law in her mid-60s, and so they're a little worried about going to the store and getting infected. We my wife and I have done a successful job of instilling the fear of this virus into them, and they've been quarantining. But even within that quarantine, they have neighbors, and they're in a row home, and for the last few days, last 4 or 5 days, the neighbors on their block have decided at 5 o'clock every day, everybody's going to go out on their porch, have like a quote unquote happy hour, make sure everybody is okay. And then the younger couples on the block are taking it upon themselves to go shopping for everybody else who's a little bit older. So it does seem like even in this tragedy, this is one anecdote that I've experienced, but hopefully there's more stories like it going on throughout the country. This is the time to turn to your local community, meet your neighbor, say hi to your neighbor, converse with your neighbor, get to know your neighbor, because really at the end of the day, you and your local community are going to be the ones who provide the best outcome for your community. It's not going to be the CDC. It's not going to be the National Guard. It's not going to be Trump. It's going to be you and the people that live around you.
Every strong citadel is made up of strong people. I like, be kind, but not naive. I think that's how we all should act here. You know, we're all in this together, but you have to watch out for your own. You know?
Definitely.
Marty, do you have any whiskey in that bunker over there?
No. I'm taking a night off of drinking today. I've
been priorities. Drinking way too much. No, but do you have it? Do you have some?
Oh, yes, I have okay. some whiskey.
So you're going to drink with me on Thursday?
Yes, I will. I'll drink on Thursday.
Deal. I got some. I'm sipping on some Macallan. I wish we had that. I wish I had that Michter's right now.
I know. It's. I mean, if you go back to Brooklyn, I can let my. It's in my apartment.
Exfiltration. Exfiltrate the Michter's. I went back for my Noddle Dojo today. With the mask and gloves.
That's one thing that did not make my escape New York list was the whiskey. I've got a cabinet full of whiskey. In Brooklyn.
Yeah. I left in like kind of, I was prepared, but I left in kind of a rush. But I'm well stocked here. On another positive note during this crisis, did you see about this in Italy? They needed this valve for the ventilators.
And yeah, this is awesome.
And a bunch of guys that were locals had a 3D printer, and they reverse engineered the valve because the valve company, who was out of stock and couldn't get them new valves anytime soon, refused to give them the blueprints. So they said, fuck you anyway, and they reverse engineered it, and then they made a shit ton of new valves.
This is incredible. This is an externality, a positive externality of the situation, when proving that humans are extremely creative and resourceful when push comes to shove, and 3D printing something we've talked about, not every episode, but it's come up now and then, and it is something that we think will be revolutionary going forward. And this is just a perfect case study of it actually helping. Like it helps save people's lives in this instance.
I need to get more into 3D printing. I've been waiting. It's like VR. I've just been waiting because I didn't want to like buy a device and just have it be obsolete and worth half as much the next year. But I think we're starting to hit the plateau.
You're in the VR. Speaking of VR, you've jumped in.
Dude,
what's it like?
The headset is fucking dope. It was such a good purchase. I'm very happy with my purchase. I FOMO'd the shit out of that purchase like 8 days ago, and the price keeps going up on Amazon. Number go up. So I'm glad that I got it now. It beat my expectations. The negative, it is a Facebook product, and so now it's my only Facebook product. But you don't need a Facebook account to use it, which is good because I don't have one. But it really, it's definitely still a work in progress, but it beat all my expectations. It's pretty immersive. I'm surprised.
And you're talking about the Oculus specifically.
Yeah, the Oculus Quest, which it's cool because it's standalone. You don't need a computer connected to it, like specifically a high-end computer, which is what all these other ones need. It's just an all-in-one device. It even has audio, like mic and like a mini speaker in it, and you just strap it on, and it has like these little handles so you could see your hands. It's like what I feel like it's what the Wii should have been, you know.
Ah, the Wii.
But it's,
I remember the Wii.
It's specifically pretty cool for these VR conferences that are happening. And we have a Socratic seminar coming up tomorrow, which is going to be the first VR Socratic seminar. So I'm pretty hyped for that. I guess like I'm obviously a huge nerd. I'm hyped for a VR VR Socratic seminar about Bitcoin, but it should be dope.
Yeah, so the founder of the London BitDevs meetup, Michael Folkson, and Andrew Yang, who is e-currency holder.
Yeah, not the presidential candidate.
On Twitter, not the presidential candidate. He's the marketing and partnerships director at River Financial. They will be hosting that Socratic meetup. I think I might have to jump on the Oculus chain here, train here, excuse me. It seems like it's going to be more commonplace, especially as more people quarantine. And that's
We should do a VR podcast. You should get one, and we should do a VR podcast.
I know people are scared right now, and you probably should be scared. Things are breaking, but I don't want you to get scared to the point of paralysis, where it's like, oh my god, the world's ending, the sky is falling. We're going to go into a Mad Max world. There's actually, again, we discussed with the 3D printing of the valves. That's a positive externality. I saw on Twitter a lot of people tweeting about how good it is, or how nice it is that they're home with their families, and some are working from home, some are watching the kids. Everybody's pitching in a little bit to help out, and it just feels good to have your family around, even though these things seem very bad right now. They are very bad right now. It's not paint a turd here. There are positive externalities. Mainly, people are starting to realize what's important: family and helping the community, and helping your fellow man in times of need. And
it puts a lot of shit in perspective.
It really does. It really does. So I know, myself included, I'm on Twitter way too much. I've been watching way more. I've watched more news in the last 4 days than I have in the last 4 years, probably.
Shame.
I know, it is a shame. There's a lot of fear out there in the media and social media, but there are good things coming out of this. And I think in the long run, we will be stronger because of this. We're going to, like you said, we're going to find out what's really important and what really matters in life. And nothing like a global pandemic to really drive that home.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to change the world as we know it. Like, so many things are going to change. It's a freaky time, right? It's super, because you don't really know what's going to happen short term. And long term, there's going to be ridiculous ripple effects. So it is, you know, there's a lot of suffering, and I really feel for it. And I'm concerned myself, super, you know, I'm more prepared than most people, and I'm still ridiculously anxious. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of change, and I think, you know, for the better. I think we'll see a lot of change for the better. There's going to be a lot of technology that gets developed here because people are stuck at home. You know, like video conferencing stuff is going to get insane, I think, over the next like 6-10 months. Hopefully we see more things with 3D printing, localized manufacturing. I think we're going to be blown away. There's going to be a lot of things that we can't even fathom right now that happened because of the ripple effect, that in like 3 years, 2-3 years, that maybe would have been like 10 to 20 years if we didn't have this style of like global pandemic mixed with like a market rout at the same time. Cause there's a, you know, it just changes all the dynamics all at once. And for Bitcoin, it's pretty crazy that all this is happening going into a Bitcoin halving. I mean, the good thing for all you freaks is the Bitcoin halving is already priced in, so you don't have to worry about that aspect of it. But all this other shit going on, that's also actually all priced in as well. So we're good. Everything's priced in, and we're going into the halving hunky-dory.
Yeah. The efficient market hypothesis is playing out perfectly in front of us. Everything's priced in.
Do you think the efficient market people will, like, did this prove them wrong, or is it just like there's black swans, so you'll never know?
Yeah, I would imagine be their argument in this case is, how could we see a global pandemic coming?
I wonder if they think the halving is still priced in, or if they admit that with all this other shit going on, then there's no way anyone can effectively price in something of a niche asset that's going through in its adoption phase.
Yeah, is the halving priced in? Is it death spiral priced in? Is Bitcoin's price need to double from here or where it was this time last week?
I'm in Zen because it's all priced in. No, I'm actually like, I've been stacking way more lately, which probably means we're going to dump more, but it just feels like it's like the perfect mix for, you know, Bitcoin at this age of its life, at this point in its adoption cycle. You don't really have to explain to people anymore why you might want an asset that's independent of governments and corporations, a money that's independent of governments and corporations. So, yeah, I mean, look, if you, what happens here if we see, like, we're seeing some signs of, like, run on banks. Like, we already know these banks don't have much reserves, and they just lower the reserve ratio even more over the weekend.
There is no reserve ratio. There is none.
Now there's none, but there was a little one before, right?
Yeah, and it was, even then, it was just, what's the word I'm looking for?
So in a pandemic, there's two ways you can take your money out of the bank. You can go to the ATM because the teller windows are closed. And if the ATM's empty, there's only one other way you can get your money out of the bank, and that's if you buy Bitcoin with it. So that's a very interesting dynamic. If we see that play out, if we see markets close, people are talking about the markets closing for a couple weeks potentially. That means Bitcoin's the only market in town. That's crazy. I can't even, on the short term, I have no fucking idea what the fuck's going on. But long term, like, I don't know. It just seems really bullish for Bitcoin. Am I fucking crazy? Am I just being ridiculous right now?
No. Like you, I have been buying aggressively in the last week. I bought some more this morning. This is why Bitcoin is created, and the value prop of Bitcoin is being very much highlighted right now. Like, it is to get away from these centralized systems that cause these systemic problems. It is providing the ability for you to opt out of these centralized systems that don't seem to be working. I tweeted it out this morning. Again, harping back on the point not to depend on these centralized systems. People pay their taxes year in, year out, even when they're working paycheck to paycheck. And they expect that when shit hits the fan, the government will step in and help them out and have their back. And the last 3 weeks have proven that that is not the case. Even it has completely faltered when many who have been paying, or everybody has been paying taxes. I mean, I had never expected the government to step up and actually solve this, but most people do expect the government to step up and do this, and it is becoming very much apparent that they are not equipped to, again, micromanage a country of 330 million people and then expand that globally to Europe, the UK. Like, our governments are failing us, and this is another reason why we Bitcoin too, going back to the sovereign individual thesis. And this is something I tweeted out last week too. The oil wars, this pandemic, it's really the impetus for the pendulum swinging away from globalization. We're going to see a balkanization of the world play out from here on out. And it's because people are going to realize that these systems are not able to service us. The crisis of confidence that is coming, and it is coming, I think it's already here, is going to force us to become more localized, to become more balkanized. And again, at the end of the day, I'm not pushing nationalistic points or anything like that, but you're going to be able to trade within these balkanized areas. The decision making across citadels will be made better at the local level.
No, yeah, I think like we're in a unique point here where we have the technology that you can have localism and with global trade. So like you could have like governance very close to home, all these different independent entities that are interconnected, you know, through the internet and through global shipping and whatnot, right? Like we can have a kind of a combination of both. And that's where I look at Citadel Theory. That's where I go with it. And I think that this crisis has proved a lot of the value of that, of having manufacturing close to home or diversified in different areas. That's all I have. I'm like a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, is you tipsy over there?
No, I'm not tipsy. You know, everyone thinks you have a higher tolerance than me, but I just drink more than you on the podcast. That's what happens.
I definitely have a higher tolerance.
I don't know about that, dude. Well, when the quarantine ends, we'll make sure we go drink for drink, and we'll test it out. We'll test out your hypothesis. That's true. Did you order your Android phone yet?
I'm actually doing that after we hang up here.
I ordered my
cart loaded.
Before I decided I was going to exfiltrate my Noddle Dojo, I ordered all the parts for my node. I was supposed to get my Casa node like the day before I left the city. The day I left the city, and instead I left the city instead of getting it. So I'm not going to convert that into a my node. I'm going to actually build a my node. And in addition to having this stimulus package of... The stimulus package is going to be multi-fronted. You know, not only do we have additional RHR, we're going to have more interviews, and we're going to do more guides. Like, I'm ready. I'm going to get you a nice guide of the full MyNode setup. So I'm pretty excited about that. And Whirlpool keeps hitting all time. You know, just keeps trucking on. There's been a shit ton of volume has been coming into it lately, pandemic or not. So that's really great to see.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get my node set up. And yeah, like you alluded to, we're really going to embrace the remote aspect of the podcast from here on out. I was a hardo, only wanting to interview people in person.
I thought it was great interviewing people only in person, but it is a pandemic, so.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to interviewing people in person. But yes, we do have to lean into the conditions of our time here, and they call for social distancing.
I know. I fucking miss you already, bro. It's only been...
Oh, I miss you.
It's been like a week.
I miss you too, man.
Oh, that's cute.
Now we're getting all emotional. Yeah. So how are you staying sane in quarantine? That is one thing we're going to have to adjust to life. I mean, I already worked from home, so I'm pretty much used to quarantine life. And I'm used to being cooped up in my apartment for most of the day, but is it an adjustment for you?
My day job is fucking chaos. I don't like talking about it, but it's fucking chaos right now. The buck stops with me in my day job, and there's a lot of buck stopping right now. You know, it's just a lot of things are falling on me, and I don't really know how to handle them. And I'm just trying my best in that regard, but I like all the extra time I have for Bitcoin stuff. And you know, my focus is going to be mainly on that, I think, to get me through. And now I got the VR, will be sick. I also surrounded myself with, I have family here, so, it's ideal.
Yeah. I'm lucky to have a good amount of family, around where I'm quarantined too. Hopefully getting more of our family to us as well soon. But it's been good. I have my brother with us here where we are, my wife, my son, and I. And it's been great. We've been cooking good dinners, binge-watching some shows. Make sure you get outside, too. Remember, that's why I wrote my final thought today. Remember, at the end of the day, the sun is going to rise and life is going to go on. The world is not ending. It is a tumultuous time. It's a hard time. And like I was saying earlier, social media and traditional media definitely do aid in making things seem much worse than they are. And they are bad, but take some time to get outside.
Yeah,
take some deep breaths.
Even if you're in a city, just like go outside, you know, and don't, you know, you can still maintain distance from people, you know, like be aware and stuff. But like you'll go stir fucking crazy if you just stay in your apartment. That's one of the reasons I got out of the city. But you'll go stir crazy and really quickly. Like, I don't think people realize how quickly it'll happen. But be aware of all like the public areas in your building, you know. And if you're looking for gloves, Rodolfo told me to tell you all that you got to get nitrile gloves. You don't get latex gloves, you get nitrile. I got them.
Nitrile?
Yeah, I bought those gloves. He got very excited that I bought those gloves. So everyone get Rodolfo excited. And if you're going to buy gloves, buy nitrile gloves. They're thicker. They're more They're more reliable. They don't rip as easily.
Nice. Are they antimicrobial as well?
I don't think so. I mean, they're just, it's like latex gloves, right? Like they act as a, you know, you have to take them off properly, but they act as a blocker to your own body, right?
Yeah. Another thing to take into consideration with social distancing is you don't have to go to the grocery store. I ordered some steaks off of Omaha Steaks today, and another small, Omaha Steaks pretty big, but I ordered from Omaha Steaks and then a small butcher out of Kansas City to get some meats delivered. So he'll be here next week, so we don't have to go to the store for another pickup. And if things do get bad, again, we're not trying to fearmonger here, but if they do get bad, my process for food is go to the store once a week, if that, get as much food as you need, plus some stuff that you can put in the freezer, and try to touch your freezer arsenal as little as possible, hopefully not at all.
Yeah, I stocked up on, I have a shit ton of meat. Fuck your ramen. I have like a ton of fucking meat. Everyone's like going, the ramen was like the first stuff to leave the shelves. It's like, guys, just load up your freezer. Lots and lots and lots. Did you see this thing from the French health minister, and a bunch of French doctors are saying like you shouldn't take inflammatories like Advil and aspirin? Like you should take Tylenol. I saw that going around. Instead.
I saw that going around. I've also heard that's fake news. I don't know who to believe in that. I've just been taking
vitamin C and D. I asked a French person. I asked, you know, keto miners told me that it's legit. I don't know. It's something to keep in mind. You know, do your own research, I guess. So
ibuprofen and Advil over Tylenol?
No, you should take Tylenol. You shouldn't take Advil or aspirin, which are anti-inflammatories. Is what they say, what the guidance says. I'm going to follow that guidance. If you get sick, it's supposed to complicate it. And then, you know,
okay.
I will keep my eye out. And if I deem otherwise, then I won't follow that guidance. But it seems like it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know on that one. I'm not well-versed.
Keto convinced me. You know, I like the Noddle. It's a good product.
What else do we got here?
There was one other thing I wanted to mention. I don't remember. I'm going to remember as soon as we stop recording.
Yeah. Back to Bitcoin related stuff to keep that we are a Bitcoin podcast at the end of the day.
Oh shit. Really?
Jameson Lopp wrote a post that I was interested in over the weekend. He changed the name of it. It was Bitcoin Core Quality Control. I wonder if you got yelled at and asked to change the name because commits aren't fungible. Bitcoin Core Contributor Challenges. And it's just a nice little piece on basically stats of the Bitcoin Core repository, which is the reference implementation, but is one implementation of many of the Bitcoin software, Libitcoin, Knots, Bcoin, or other implementations. Bitcoin Core obviously is the one that we all or most of us are probably running, and he basically went through the GitHub of Bitcoin Core and tried to dissect the amount of total rejected added lines of code, rejected deleted lines of code, and the ratio of getting rejected lines of code changed versus accepted. And it's basically proving that it's pretty hard to get code merged into Core for every 15.3 million rejected lines of code changes in the repository. There's only 3.65 million that are accepted. But again, not all commits are equal. Commits aren't fungible. Some commits have more influence than others. But if you're using this as a guiding heuristic, it would seem that it is pretty hard to get stuff merged. And then he even dove into merge success rates and at what point a developer may stop contributing to the project because they don't think the chances of getting their code merged is very high.
But we've seen contributors go up, right? Did they talk about that at all? Like the number of contributors?
Yeah. Number of contributors have gone up significantly. But they're not all Some are only making very few PRs compared to others.
Yeah.
Again, it's all a
no, I mean, game. I think it's, look, I think we all agree. Well, I mean, I think me and you agree. I'm not going to speak for all you freaks out there that conservative is good. Like we have a global distributed financial network that is valued at billions of dollars, and you need to tread carefully. Like you can't just move fast and break things. Like you have to be careful about it. That's a feature. It's not a bug.
Yes. All right. I think we're going to keep this first episode around 45 minutes.
I remembered what I was going to bring up.
It's about time. All right. We got 3 minutes anyway.
Backed, completed, $300 million Series B. Does that matter?
I saw that too.
Is that a thing?
Let's not fall for that meme. That meme.
What meme?
The institutional money meme. Don't wait for it.
Yeah, but that's still a lot of money. That's a lot of money. $300 million.
Yeah, led by Pantera and Microsoft.
Microsoft's big. I've heard that company before.
Yeah, according Microsoft's M12. I guess that's one of their funding branches. PayU, Boston Consulting Group, Goldfinch Partners, CMT Digital, Pantera Capital, and Back Partner Firm. ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange, all participated in the funding round. Acquired Bridge 2 Solutions, a loyalty services provider, in February. And since then, I guess they've been doing another round. And yeah, so we'll see what they put out. Their futures product has been getting some traction, but again, people prefer the CME products, correct?
Yes. I wouldn't read too much into it, but the number is really fucking high, so that's good. It's good that the number is high.
Well, if we're learning one thing right now, high valuations, high numbers don't mean dick unless you follow up with actual production. So
I mean, it means something for Bitcoin. It might not mean something for Bakkt, you know? Like, it means something for Bitcoin that they raised $300 million. You know, I'm never going to use their products, but I think that's good.
Does it really matter for Bitcoin? I'm excited at our potential to unlock nearly $1 trillion of digital assets when the Bakkt app launches this summer. It sounds like a shitcoin machine.
It is probably going to be a shitcoin machine. You are correct. Yeah, I agree. I pretty much agree with you. I just think $300 million is a large amount of money. So I'm surprised. I'm surprised that they raised that much.
$300 million is cool, but it's not $500 billion like the repo operations.
They should just give everyone really Bitcoin. Cool. Did you see Mitt Romney wants to give everyone $1,000 now?
Yeah, how about that? That would be a change of narrative if the Republicans come out and lead on UBI.
They should just buy a shit ton of Bitcoin. Is that a bad idea? Why don't they just buy a bunch of Bitcoin?
I'd rather them do the helicopter money and then have individuals use that to buy Bitcoin.
We just all go out and use our $1,000 to just buy Bitcoin.
That's what I'm going to do. If they give me $1,000, I am buying Bitcoin.
It'd be cool if they direct deposited it into your Cash App account. So you could just click a button.
It's probably possible if you have it hooked up. They have ACH capabilities. Disclaimer, Cash App is a sponsor of this pod. But
disclosure. Yeah,
it probably could be possible. Disclosure, disclaimer, whatever.
Yeah. Stay humble, stack sats.
Yeah, peace and love. Stay safe out there. Be kind to your neighbors. Again, scary times. Definitely heavy times. Things to take seriously. Stay healthy out there. Stay sane out there. And then think about what happens when we turn out of this. And again, we are going to turn out of this. The sun is going to keep rising. Life is going to go on. This too shall pass. And just think about how we want to build the world when it does pass.
Love you guys. We'll get through this.
Peace and love.